Hello, Capricorn, and welcome to In These Times. My concept of a little bit of healing balm for the rather crazy moment that we're in, and understanding how challenging it is for so many people to hold their lives in any semblance of order, and you as a Capricorn or Cap Rising or Cap Moon are experiencing the effects of Saturn and Pluto in your sign. One of the most impactful aspects in a generation. I'm beginning today at 1:13 p.m. in Kingston on a beautiful late summer afternoon. And I'm starting all of these readings with a little invocation, perhaps in some ways a big invocation, from the book Bardo, Interval of Possibility by Kenpo Kartha Rinpoche, a brilliantly lucid work that in many ways sums up the very essence of Tibetan Buddhism. And this was the I've been hanging out up at the monastery a bit, visiting there and picking up the vibes and visiting the bookstore. And Rinpoche says, I mention all of this. He's talking about the Dharma, by the way. The Dharma being the teaching by example, and in simple terms, acting as if to hold the world together. So the example of teaching through the action of doing what you can to hold the world together. And Rinpoche says, as bad as times are, the Dharma is not affected or diminished in any way. We do indeed live in an age of decadence, but the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is the same as it's always been. And what he means by an age of decadence is crumbling and decay. There is more energy invested in exploiting the systems of life that we have built to sustain us as a society than there is in repairing them and developing. And time is moving very quickly, and our society is just not preparing for the future. And we as individuals are pretty much caught in the middle of this. There is, after all, only so much that we can do as individuals. We can certainly work to sustain our own lives, but a lot of that is not dharmic. No, a lot of that is at the expense of the overall picture, the stability of the world. And of course, we have to take care of ourselves first. And my concern is that that's really one of the things that's not happening, is that that self-care and being prepared for life and to face the day and to face our commitments, which I know are important to you. You have a natural tendency to want to act as if to hold the world together. And for the past decade, you've been under the influence of Pluto in your sign. That is not something that happens to everyone. Only some people experience this. Everyone experiences Pluto transits. But, you know, Pluto will maybe move through, in our times, six signs in the course of a lifetime. So it's a different experience for everyone. And what it is somewhat famous for is pushing people to a kind of an extreme. And so Pluto in Capricorn has had an impact on the world around us. I think that it is the very essence of the struggle and the kind of crumbling that we're seeing. And for you, it is something much more intimate, which is a commentary on your spiritual growth process. The one thing among a few that I think is elegant in the commentary of Jeff Green's theory of Pluto, it is certainly about the evolution of the soul. And that is a process for we who are incarnate, and you have been deeply kind of thrust into that process, experiencing what Patrick Walker would call enforced changes. And now Saturn has gotten into the picture. That began in late 2017, so it's been going on for just a little bit under 2 years, and it will continue into late 2020, but now there is going to be a peak of this Saturn-Pluto activity in January, on the 12th day of January 2020. And this is right now the thing to be considering and working for, working toward. The nature of the conjunction is that it's only going to happen once. And by that I mean there's not going to be a Saturn retrograde over Pluto. So it's not a three-part story like many of these aspects are. Like the Uranus-Pluto square had seven events. That was around 2011. The Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 1960s had three events. The Saturn-Pluto opposition of 2001-2002 had three events. The current Saturn-Pluto conjunction is going to happen once. And so that means that there's going to be a fairly clear opportunity to work on resolution on one side and on commencement on the other. And this is a major cycle. It takes about 35 years at our time in history to complete. And so we're seeing the completion of something that was commenced in the early 1980s, 1982 to be exact. And so if you're born in the early 1980s, then this is particularly a major time in your life. And take note for others who were born in this era, that this is one of the most significant transits of their life. It means coming with a Pluto square and a Saturn square at the same time for many people, by the way. And even if you're not born in that era, this is just, I understand. I have been through a lot of this kind of astrology, and I get how intense this is. And the temptation when things are intense and life seems difficult to hold together, and where you are alive in an age of decadence, as exemplified by the like fuck it, who cares attitude of a lot of the world, or I can't hold it together, so I might as well just let it all fall apart, or whatever form it may take. And there are a number of, let's say, pop philosophies of how to live now, is that you in particular, and this is a commentary on Capricorn and what I've identified as a kind of an inner inner spiritual orientation of Capricorn at its best, honors integrity. This is very important to you. And so you have to define what that means for yourself in a time when when there's a lot of confusion and a lot of pressure. And you should be aware that today's September 3rd. Over the next few weeks, there are going to be events in your sign, and they include Saturn going direct. That's on the 18th. And Pluto going direct. That's on October 3rd. I'm going to jot that down. Saturn station direct on the 18th, and Pluto station direct on 10/3. And the reason these are significant events is because you're something's going to wake up as these happen. Some internal process is going to shift in its direction, basically. And much of the year, about the past 5 months of these planets being retrograde. And so this has given you some relief and the ability to think about and do and take care of other things. And when the planets go direct, that's going to kind of activate a kind of a body clock for you and remind you that these planets are heading for a conjunction, and that conjunction is just in 4 months. September, October, November, December, January. Yeah, a little bit over 16 weeks from now. And this may come with a kind of an urgency for you and a sense of pressure and potentially, you know, some panicky moments. Will you get this all done? I mean, a lot of the world is, and what the it is another question. A lot of the world is running around right now completely emotionally and psychologically out of control. It's people's habits that have them able to get to work every day if they have good habits, and the either the momentum of their relationships or an underlying love and respect, if such even exists, but in some cases that's the thing that's holding the relationship together. In other scenarios, it is very difficult to hold anything together because it's often one thing after the next without any concept of what that process is about. And so what I suggest is that you, as these planets station direct, tune in and experience them as best you can as an inner shift, as an inner valence orientation shifting. Right? There's something, I can't explain the chemistry well enough, but valence is the tendency of elements to bond, and it's the particular charge that they hold and the way that they bond and the conditions under which they bond with one another. And so your valence shifts with these two planetary stations and then Saturn and Pluto, which are currently only about 6 degrees apart, then begin to move into alignment for the last time before the conjunction. And the time before a conjunction is saying, complete this, finish something. And you need to know what that is. That's really the thing, because the it could manifest as anything. It could, in your mind, graft onto anything. And so, therefore, it's very important to know what your agenda is. One way to think of the conjunction is as an opportunity or as a power tool that you can use to do something that you ordinarily would have considered very difficult or impossible. And so you want to know what you're applying that to. And that can be a family situation that you have the power to resolve now. It can be a domestic situation or relationship that you have the power to resolve or move on from. It can be an employment situation. It might be some combination of those. The thing you can count on is that some major things are going to shift, and it is fair to say that with this happening in a sign that you identify with, most likely your sun or rising sign, that it is holistic. That is to say that it affects the ground of your entire life and personal. And that some way there is a meeting of you and the circumstances of the world. There was a lot of this going on when Pluto first entered Capricorn in 2008 and this whole financial crisis happened. And this wide, sweeping, massive thing impacting society on levels that even people professionally invested and trained, professional observers and observers of the financial industry, couldn't comprehend. And there were a few people who saw it coming. I mean, some of my own clients were telling me what was coming. And it was hard for me to believe because people are always predicting doom and gloom. And so we're in a kind of a completion stage of that whole bit of whatever it was that occurred in 08, 09 for you. So go back to then and consider any unfinished business. And what I would suggest that you do is make a list of things that you have to make decisions about, important things that you have to make decisions about, and a second list of decisions that you have made but not fully acted on, that you have not taken the step. And consider those carefully. In my experience, it is those things that are the most likely to be the ones that are subjected to the kinds of root level or radical movement that the Saturn-Pluto conjunction is about. One of the themes that comes up over and over again in your astrology is the theme of family. Of all the signs, in terms of my study of the signs rather than of individuals, I have seen that Capricorn has a most unusual relationship with its family. There is a very high level of dependency on family structure. That does not necessarily mean financial, but it can mean financial or domestic dependency, but more of the reliance upon a psychic structure that is seemingly provided by one's investment and involvement in one's family. And the way this shows up, first of all, is that Capricorn itself is a sign very closely and intimately involved with the family and where the family intersects with the larger corporate state reality. And Capricorn identified people can have very strong identification with their parents, and also a deep need to have the approval of their parents long past the time when this is a helpful thing. But it provides a kind of a security blanket or a kind of a step to get a little bit higher on for a while. But now that whole concept of the family structure and the structure of society are equally, for most people, equally unhelpful. And that's less of a concern than whether or not your investment in these things helps you. And so there's some psychology here, and then there's also the practical involvements and the ways, for example, in which adults interact with parents and siblings, especially if they're dominant siblings, and the seeming often unconscious psychological advantage that being identified with the tribe or clan has. And this is often on the level of a spooky taboo, like, oh, I could never do something. You know, I'm not Muslim, but my father is. And so, therefore, I can never do anything that violates that. Well, heck, that's a pretty serious burden to carry. And this whole orientation on reality, which to some extent impacts every single person, right? This is just the way society is organized. But I think that it's particularly important for you. Has been kind of honeycombed out. Like, imagine a mountain full of ore. And the industrialists set up a mine, and they turn the mountain into a kind of a carved Chinese puzzle, where there's not really a mountain anymore. There's just a bunch of there's a shell and a bunch of tunnelways where all the material has been removed. And this is what the influence of Pluto, and to some extent the influence of Saturn, has been like for you. And so things are not as solid as they seem. And yet, at the same time, this major conjunction is closing in on all of us. And so this is where the calling to be a mature adult must manifest as your ability to identify the places where you need to make decisions and making those decisions and then acting on those decisions. The alternative is to basically have it done for you. This would be true for anyone, no matter where their impact from Saturn or Pluto was, and in particular Saturn. But they're acting together, and they're acting in a very similar way at this time. And the authority principle of Saturn is that if you make your own decisions on a consistent basis, and if you take on the authority principle of your parents and of the government and of the boss and all those other things, and internalize your own power of decision and the basic elements of an honest type of discipline, you'll be a lot happier than if you are relying on these things from the outside. For young people, they work pretty well from the outside. For wards of the state, they work pretty well from the outside. For people who cannot maintain their discipline and follow the basic guidelines of society, they end up inside a very Saturnian structure. and can't leave, for example. And so when you think about it, feel it through, and notice the course of your life and those of the people around you, there's a lot of motivation and good reasons to take on your own inner authority. But it is easier said than done in times when this is not a recognized or honored quality, this particular type of maturity. And so I'm going to say again that the thing that would be the most helpful to you, in my opinion, at this time, prior to the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto, will be to make a list of the decisions you've made and have not acted on, and then to make a list of all of the things that you need to make a decision about. And you'll know that you have the right items on the list when they are high order things. They are things that affect the overall structure and the direction of your life. And it is the anticipation of these things that is often the most, anxiety inspiring. And you, at least with these things happening right in your sign, and this counts even if you're very late Capricorn rising, for example, and they seem to be in your 12th house, they're still happening in your rising sign, that they're going to be much more tangible. They're going to be more readily available. The content, the factual information, a basic, tangible analysis, a map of, okay, I've been in this thing for 23 years and it hasn't been working for the last 10. I've got to make a decision. I have been involved with this job or this person, or I've lived in this place, and I've got to make a decision. You know what those things are. And what you want to do here, not to impose my values or anything, but you want to stay ahead of the curve on this one. You want to stay ahead of this, and you want to have your plans and your contingency plans. And ultimately, this astrology is, whether it is symbolic or whether it is literal, you are going to be standing up to your parents and declaring your independence. This is the time. There will be no better time in the history of your life to do this. However old you are, or however young you are, there's not going to be astrology in Capricorn like this again. Let's consider what's going on in Aries. Aries is your fellow sign on the cardinal cross. What happens to one sign on the cardinal cross generally happens to all of the signs on the cardinal cross, just in slightly different ways. And Aries represents your fourth place. And so where you have Aries, you have a strong sense of identity, and where you particularly have it is this investment in tribe, fourth house, in the past, fourth house, in the region of father, fourth house. And this is when we fit the mandala of the horoscope into the structure of society and we kind of just turn things until it goes click, and that's Capricorn. What we find out is that you have this very strong investment of your identity in the past in your tribe and in your family and in your domestic situation, and that you associate this not only with personal security, but with your deepest level of identity, and also possibly, in reality, your only level of foundational identity, such that, for example, if you have a personal relationship, a marriage, or long-term partner, your family of origin is still more important. I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying that would be a manifestation of this. Or there's that sly level where you don't want it to be more important, but it somehow always ends up being that way. That's the thing to keep a pulse on. And what is going on in Aries right now is, first of all, for all of our lifetimes, for well over 90 years, so pretty much everyone alive has Eris in Aries, is that there has been this factor moving through Aries, which is reconceptualizing self-concept. And it is doing so by turning us inside out and imposing a kind of a tribal level of reality on us. And so I could see where in times when there is this increased tribalization going on and a kind of a negation of individuality, that the most obvious place to orient is going to be some form of family of origin. But this is a kind of an illusion. Because that whole idea is, first of all, it's transient. It keeps changing, and the thing that we're living with now is a kind of a parody of the ideas of family that were promulgated after World War II, meaning the Leave It to Beaver level of reality, and we kind of all have this picture in our mind, at least most Caucasian people, European descent people, have this picture in their mind of the glorious past of Leave It to Beaver and all that, and that's just never existed, first of all, and to the extent that it did exist, it is gone. So this has been happening, and you're in a perfect position to understand the potential for new models of what family might be, because you have, first of all, you have kind of a skill as an architect, and second, you have a need to tap into what should be the wisest way for you and other people to live, right? Your ideas are certainly worth more than just yourself. And so you have an innate wisdom, and it is time to tap into that innate wisdom. And the way that this shows up is that there are major transits happening to your fourth house right now. And Eris has been there for a while. That's going to come into focus over the next couple of years. But before that, and what's been going on for the past year and a half to 2 years, is that Chiron has been working its way into Aries, and it's been doing so at the same time as Salacia, S-A-L-A-C-I-A. Chiron is a centaur, has about a 50-year orbit, and Salacia is a classical Kuiper object. It's got approximately a 300-year orbit. And this is a big wake-up call. But it is also an answer to the stress, the earthquake of Pluto in Capricorn and Saturn in Capricorn and Saturn conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. It is an answer to the constant shakeup of Eris in Aries. It is, in many ways, the key, which is a key word of Chiron, orientation that you can take in the maelstrom that we are all in what to many people seems like complete unmitigated chaos. And like a dancer doing series of fast turns is trained to spot something, a physical object. That's how a dancer doesn't get dizzy when they spin like that, right? Everybody else gets dizzy, but if you spot, you don't get dizzy. And so the thing to spot is Chiron. And what Chiron is offering you is a new sense of grounding of your identity that transcends the family of origin and that transcends the normal, usual expectations of the way society is supposed to be structured, which, of course, it's not structured that way. We just think it's supposed to be structured that way. And a lot of people today are trying to live out their grandparents' marriage, thinking it was so sweet and all this stuff. But the necessities of our time in history are completely different than 75 years ago. And the pressure that we are under is unprecedented in human history. Never been a movement this rapid in recorded history. I mean, it's a little like an asteroid hitting the planet, only it's a technological asteroid that has changed everything about the way a person thinks of who they are and what they are. And the change has largely been a destabilization. And what you need is a means of focusing your stability. And the way to focus on that is this much deeper, though in many ways challenging, presence of Chiron in your fourth house. This is about grounding. It is, and by grounding, I mean knowing where you stand with yourself, knowing the ground that you walk on in terms of your inner spiritual being. And while Chiron might not deliver a quick answer, it will always deliver an awareness building and healing process that will guide you to there. And so what I suggest is that you keep tuning in inwardly and find that point of discomfort. Find that point of tension inwardly. And the way it looks astrologically, and I mean, astrology is not so perfect that it is assured that it will behave in this way, but it is likely to in this way or a similar way, or there's some metaphor that you can use to complete the circle, that you are looking for first of all, what might seem like the most fear that you have, the place where you feel the least stable, where you feel you've been injured the worst, particularly in some familial context. This becomes the source of your strength, and it is strength of a level that no one understands until they've acquired that, till they've gone through that, till they have learned and grown and become and felt the benefits of working this Chiron process. And the Chiron process is essentially building your strength on a sense of injury. Right? And so this seems paradoxical. It seems like an injury is something you fix and you move on with your life. Where Chiron is concerned, there is an initiation process and you emerge on a new level. Now, it will help, since Chiron is so potent and active in your chart, if you have some sense of what happened at the times of your past Chiron transits. There are certainly astrologers who can help you. What you really need are the dates of a few of your Chiron transits. An important one is between 2002 and 2004, when Chiron was in Capricorn. So that's one that we can say with some certainty that in that time range, there was an unusual growth process that you embarked upon that transformed you in some way, and it can give you a taste of what is possible if that went well, that you will emerge from this with a deeper sense of your own beingness. Now, I promised in every one of these readings that there would be a clue to the nature of sexuality as it impacts in your life. And one thing I can tell you is that much of the challenge of relating to your family of origin and many of the disconnect points and many of the ways where it is essentially when you strip away all of the window dressing and the appearances, that the fundamental rift is over your sexuality. This has had numerous manifestations throughout history. So you can think of Fiddler on the Roof, where one of Rev Tevye's daughters wants to marry a goyim. She wants to marry a man who's not Jewish, violating the tradition and risking excommunication from her family. And Orthodox Jews to this day, and other religions do this as well, sit shiva for people who marry outside of the religion. So this is an example. Another example is, though it has been worse, much worse at many times before today, there are still families where if you come out as gay, you risk or feel like you risk excommunication from the family. So these are two seemingly extreme examples. However, I would propose that on some level, this is at work for everyone. And if it's not literally at work, i.e. if you tell your mother that you are a certain thing or not, and you know she then never talks to you again, which actually does happen every day, that the lingering psychological anxiety, like this kind of relic or maybe it's kind of like latent DNA that can spring into life, is impacting all of us, but in particular you on the level of family. And so the thing that you can do that will give you the greatest opportunity for the most potential, let's say, acceleration of your independence and your freedom is to be at peace with and live in the truth of your sexuality. And being at peace with and living in the truth of your sexuality is often something that is a profound issue in interpersonal relationships, i.e. your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or some form of partner is in your life, and you need them in your life, and you think you do, and you depend on that structure. And it may be the financial structure, it may be the emotional structure, it may be the history of the relationship. You certainly might love the person, but the thing that it would seem would threaten the relationship the most is you coming out about who and what you really are, whatever that is. It might not be anything that you know I would consider a big deal, or many other people or whatever, but the important thing to know is whether or not someone considers it a big deal in any way, it works that way for you as a fear of the truth being known, and therefore your fundamental underlying identity and security being in some way threatened. This is how jealousy works. It's how many dynamics where sexuality is concerned. And so what I'm suggesting is, if you want to feel like a free person, if you want to feel like you are on your own feet emotionally, if you want to feel like you have the as Lou Reed said, the freedom of who you are, and the whole line is self-knowledge is a dangerous thing, the freedom of who you are. And the danger part is like a concept, right? I mean, because the threat is almost always conceptual, but still, if you're afraid that if you speak up about who you really are, this is some way going to threaten the roof over your head and your food supply, this is a big deal. But in my reading of your astrology, in my reading of the human race, a little bit of it, this is the most direct route to being free. This is the most direct route, and it right just really threads the needle. And whatever happens, happens. And at a certain point, you have to accept that whatever happens, happens. But if you know the decisions that you need to make, if you're honest with yourself about the decisions that you've made, if your assessment of what can no longer serve you is an honest assessment of what can no longer serve you, well, this will be helpful. Now, it happens at the same time that there is restlessness, creative restlessness. Uranus in Taurus, your fifth house. Sexual curiosity, artistic curiosity, all are waking up for you. How do you respond when you feel that surge of energy? Do you feel the pleasure of your curiosity and your need to explore in a way that is clear, or is it followed by a backlash of guilt in any way? Capricorn being famous for that. And the more honest you are, the better you will feel, the more you are able to thread this particular needle and pull it through and come to a mature place in your self-understanding. And there are options beckoning you. This is really the beauty of your chart, is that there is so much that you can do and that you can explore, that that it may be daunting. It's one of those things, it's like scary, having options and having that restless feeling of you've got to live. And so what often happens is, and I think every person in our society has done this at least once, and some people just make it their career, is to stick to the situation that's not serving as a hedge against all the potential and creativity, power, sexual beauty, and your deep need to explore the world. We're in the midst of this stunning Virgo alignment. The whole thing is happening in your ninth house. The ninth is a little like the fifth, only it's not creative lust and lust per se. It's wanderlust. It's the wanderlust of philosophy. It's the wanderlust of travel. It's the wanderlust of throwing your spiritual doors open and being willing and not only willing but craving some direct experience of truth, not what you were told, not the rules that your mother and grandmother and great-grandmother thought that they lived by, which were all a bunch of fucking moral codes that had nothing to do with spiritual awakening. This is the opposite of that, where your spirituality becomes the spirituality of being human, of recognizing that you are an incarnated person with desires and passion and curiosity and creativity and desire and need to experience yourself, need to experience the world. And this is deep, beautiful incentive for you. You're being called forth from something into something else. And Saturn conjunct Pluto, there's no clinging to your reality. There's no, there's nothing to hold on to. It's dangerous to hold on. I mean, you know, if the whole building's falling down, it doesn't really make sense to stay in the closet. You might want to get out from underneath the direct line of where things are going to crumble. And, you know, while you're going through this transition process, it makes sense to live a little like people in earthquake zones live, which is to live in a light structure, to live in a tent, where there's a lot of earthquakes, people tend to live in tents that don't hurt them when they fall down. And so one of the things you can do is you can work with temporary structures, transitional residences, transitional work projects, transitional creative projects, transitional family situations, lighter structures, rather than, you know, going for a false sense of permanence. Work with the basics of containment and of shelter and of being able to interact with your desires and your responsibilities and your need to perhaps take care of some people or put food on the table in a way that is lighter and weighs less, like the materials weigh less and they're a little closer to the ground. And then you can move it or change it or transition. So be prepared for movement. And I'll be back fairly shortly with with two extended annual Capricorn readings, your birthday reading and respect, another look at 2020. All right. Good to work with you. I've learned some things doing this reading. That's one of the ways I can tell that the juice is flowing. And if you have any questions, you know where to reach me, EFC at bookofblue.com. Thanks for listening, and if you can, check out your rising sign. Okay, bye for now.